morning. Greetings, friends, and welcome to The Bright Side, your nutritional program dedicated to the understanding of the vast world of nutrition and nutritional supplementation. I am your host, Pharmacist Ben, nutritional pharmacist from Boulder, Colorado, registered pharmacist number 12275. I specialize in using nutritional supplements where other healthcare practitioners use toxic pharmaceutical drugs and deadly medical procedures. If you suspect that there are natural nutritional roads to your health and vitality and well-being and to addressing your health challenges, whatever they may be, but you don't know where to begin, you have come to the right place. As you listen to The Bright Side every day, you are more and more in control of your body, you are more and more knowledgeable, and you know you can overcome any health issue. That is why we are here every day on The Bright Side, helping clear up the sometimes confusing world of nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Over the last 27 years of practicing pharmacy, I have seen drug-free recoveries from diabetes and hypertension and obesity and skin diseases like acne, psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, digestive ailments, autoimmune issues of all kinds, recoveries that by the standards of modern medicine can only be called a miracle. But what is in the world of the body, what is in the world of biology, standard operating procedure, because the human biological system is a healing system, it's a regenerating system. It is designed divinely to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. And while some folks may call that healing, regenerating, renewing system a miracle, it really is no miracle at all. It is simply the way the body works. If you have questions about health or nutrition or prescription drugs, we need you to hold those questions because we had a guest for the whole hour today. We're going to be talking to Jonathan Baylor, who is a computer programmer and a lifestyle coach and a personal trainer and the author of a wonderful new book called The Calorie Myth, as well as another book which I read about a year and a half ago called The Smarter Science of Slim. We got Jonathan on for the whole hour, and he's going to be talking about the mythology of calorie counting. Very excited about that. If you want to purchase any of the longevity products that you hear us talk about or advertise in the program, you can head over to brightsideben.com, take a look at our shopping cart, or you can call the Brightside Ben phone team at 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. I want to remind you guys in the Bay Area, I'll be doing a talk in Santa Cruz, California at the Vintage Faith Church on March the 7th, Friday night, March the 7th, 6:30 p.m. Hope to see you all out there. And I also want to remind you to check out my blog, pharmacistben.com, which we update regularly with news stories as well as blog posts. Thank you to my webmaster, Robert Lundgren. All right. I'm very excited to have our next guest on. We got him on for the whole hour. He's the author of a couple of books, Smarter Science of Slim, The Calorie Myth. He is a computer programmer and has registered more than 25 patents, serves as a computer, as a senior program manager for Microsoft. He also runs a wellness consulting business. He's from Washington. And it's the author of a great new book called The Calorie Myth. Welcome to The Bright Side, Jonathan Baylor. How you doing, buddy?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Ben. It's awesome to be on your show.
And it's good to have you. I'm so excited because we talk, as I said to you before we went on the air, we talk about the calorie myth all the time. And I'm really excited to have you share your take on it. You certainly don't mean that calories are mythological, but what is that? What exactly is the calorie myth?
You're spot on. This is not one of those books that says calories don't count. Calories certainly count. The calorie myth is that you need to count them. What I mean by that is, prior to the obesity epidemic, nobody knew what a calorie was, let alone count them, and we didn't have an obesity epidemic. So common sense seems to dictate that the solution to the obesity epidemic isn't more precise metabolic math. Maybe we should look back and see what we did before we had this problem and do that instead.
So where did this thing come from? Where did the idea that calories and weight and losing calories means losing weight and all you got to do to lose weight is drop your calories, which everybody knows isn't true because people lose calories or people restrict their calories all the time and don't lose weight. That's one of the most common complaints that I get. Probably you hear all the time. I'm eating less food and I'm not losing weight. Where did this whole idea come from?
It's extremely intuitive. I like to think of the calorie myth or this idea that if you just eat less, you will sustainably lose weight as being analogous to the flat earth theory. Because if you look out your window, and if your listeners look out their window, it really looks like the earth is flat. It's very intuitive that the earth is flat. And if it wasn't flat, wouldn't the people on the bottom fall off? It makes sense from an observational perspective. But then once we dig into the actual science and we start to understand scientific law, such as the law of gravity, we understand that the Earth doesn't have to be flat. And in fact, now we think it's ridiculous to think that the Earth is flat. Similarly, if you just look at weight on the surface, it seems to make sense intuitively that if you just eat less and exercise more, you'll lose weight. It's intuitive. And in fact, there's very popular shows on television that seem to support that mythology. But once you start to understand science, especially modern science versus the theories of 50 years ago, you start to see that the body is, as you've said, it's a dynamic system, and it doesn't want to starve to death. And if you start to try to starve it, it's going to counteract your
compensate.
So exactly. So instead of trying to fight your body through starvation, which is horribly unhealthy, instead we need to facilitate your body to heal itself, as you talk about so well on your show.
Now, what about density? What about nutritional density as opposed to just calories? Where does that fit in?
It's hugely important. Calories in and of themselves are agnostic. They're not good or bad. If I were to say, here's 200 calories, is that good or bad? I mean, all things being equal, it's good, because if you ate no calories, you would die of starvation. But we have to look deeper. We have to say what comes along with those calories. This is the fundamental problem with the calorie mythology, is it literally, it ignores everything else. Everything else. In the calorie mythology, popular food manufacturers will have billboards saying that their soda isn't bad for you because it only contains 140 calories.
So a Twinkie is like 20 calories or 30 calories. That's good food based on this calorie counting concept.
Exactly, but we all know, especially from a pharmacological perspective, that calories, I mean, for example, heroin doesn't have any calories in it. That doesn't mean it's good for you.
Well, you lose weight on it, apparently. And so, no, I understand your point is well taken, but you know what, Jonathan, why don't we talk about what exactly a calorie is and how once you define what a calorie is, talk about how the body processes that calorie.
The calorie is just a measure of energy. So certainly if you over fuel your body, if you consistently eat 10,000 calories of butter per day, you will gain fat. The good news is that nobody does that, and no one will do that. And it's analogous to saying if you pour a kiddie pool full of water into your sink, will your sink overflow? Yes, it will. The good news is that no one pours an entire kiddie pool full of water into their sink. If you put water in a sink, it might rise temporarily, but it'll fall automatically. So calories are like water to our metabolic sink. They're something we need. They're what we are meant to eat. They're fuel for us. They're like gasoline for our car's fuel tank. But they're just a measure of the quantity of energy. That's it. They're a measure of one thing that you put into your body. There are hundreds of thousands of other things that come in along with those calories, but if all you think about is calories, you will ignore all of them, and you will end up in the big fat obesity and diabetes epidemic that we have today.
Do we have a shut-off point for calories? I mean, can the body read calories and then shut off appetite based on just the amount of calories that are coming in, or is the satiety or satisfaction centers, are they keyed more into nutrition or nutrients?
It's both. So, and this is what we dig into in detail in the Calorie Myth book, which is that you have this portion of your brain called your hypothalamus, which is designed to maintain balance within your body. I mean, isn't it interesting that none of us count vitamin C in and vitamin C out, yet we don't get diseases from a deficiency in vitamin C as long as we eat normal food? I mean, isn't it amazing that our blood sugar seems to regulate itself, as does our blood pressure and our breathing
and
our
water
hydration
too.
Levels?
Yeah, water.
Exactly. Isn't it amazing that if you drink more, you just go to the bathroom more? You don't have to think about it. It just happens.
So what happens with calories? How come with calories? How come there's not an automatic shut-off point with calories? That seems to be the one aspect of food that's not controlled by satiety centers.
There absolutely is. There is absolutely an automatic shut-off mechanism. The best way to prove this is to, with humans, there is a lot of emotional aspects involved in eating. So when researchers really want to look at this objectively and scientifically, they look at animal models. So if you look at like a rat, for example, a rat doesn't emotionally eat, but its brain is quite similar to us from a genetic level.
Hang tight. We got to take a break. We got to take a break, Don. But I want do animals eat more when they're under stress? And don't answer now. I want to get that. I want to address that when we come back to our break. Come back from our break. We're talking to Jonathan Baylor, author of The Calorie Myth, as well as The Smarter Science of Slim. I'm Pharmacist Ben. You're listening to The Bright Side on the Genesis Communication Network. We'll be back right after this.
You've all seen and heard about the elements of the periodic table. These elements are the building blocks of everything in the universe. You, my friends, are made from these elements. A shortage of any of these important trace elements can lead to disease. Go with the science and take the Lady Talk Health Challenge and get all 90 essential trace elements with a healthy start pack at LadyTalkLive.com or call 855-333-LADY. That's 855-333-5239.
Research shows it's not just what you put in your body that counts, it's what you put on it as well. Why not use an all-natural, healthy mineral-based makeup that actually benefits your skin? Once you experience the airiness and flawless coverage of Youngevity Mineral Makeup, you will never use anything else. With Youngevity, the perception of your complexion will be natural perfection. Animal-friendly mineral makeup at Mary Lou Health. That's MariLouHealth.com. Or call 855-321-HEALTH.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LERPs. Soldiers love LERP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LERPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life, lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
All right, we are back on the Bright Side talking to Jonathan Baylor, author of The Calorie Myth, as well as The Smarter Science of Slim. Jonathan's website is caloriemythbook.com. Do you have another website, Jonathan?
I do, the SmarterScientistSlim.com, but stick with CalorieMythBook.com to be your best resource.
CalorieMythBook.com. Tons of YouTube videos I noticed up. You got a lot of YouTube videos up as well, a lot of radio interviews, lots of good information. Jonathan, before we went to break, you were talking about this whole emotional aspect of eating. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I would like you to continue, but then I'll maybe talk a little bit about the idea that the animals eat emotionally as well.
The key thing to keep in mind is there is an automatic shut-off point. That's where we left off. In fact, in animal models, it was impossible for researchers to make animals gain weight prior to what they call the advent of the cafeteria diet, meaning researchers would literally pump calories into the stomachs of animals, and they wouldn't gain weight because the animals would just stop eating. So, but when they started to introduce animals to non-food, a.k.a. processed starches and sweets, or what we eat today, the animals effortlessly gained and maintained an elevated set point weight, what I refer to in my research. So there is absolutely an automatic shutoff. This automatic shutoff can be deranged, though, by stress caused by non-food, as well as other sources of stress, such as just naturally your boss is being a jerk, or you're not getting enough sleep, things like that.
Now, when you say shutoff point, you're talking about the satiety, the satisfaction center, correct?
That's exactly right. We've all experienced this, right? If you eat nutrient-dense proteins and vegetables, you can get full quite easily, whereas if you eat, for example, a potato chip that markets itself to saying once you pop, you can't stop, the more of them they eat, you could eat 600 calories without feeling satisfied at all.
If it's empty, in other words, if it doesn't have the density, the nutritional density.
Not only that, but if it also has appetite-stimulating things, such as what we've seen in starch and sugar, which actually stimulate your appetite, or with high-fructose corn syrup, that actually alters your baseline levels of hormones and makes you eat more calories long-term.
What do you think there's a nefarious conspiratorial aspect to this food processing idea?
I think it is incredibly similar to tobacco. And, in fact, it is owned. Kraft, for example, is owned by Philip Morris. Many of our quote-unquote food companies are owned. And it's the same type of thing. There are proven addictive characteristics of certain foods, and it does not make sense for me as a food manufacturer from a profit perspective, forget about morality for a second, to sell you something that doesn't make me money and keeps you healthy and satisfied because it eliminates my market.
Have you heard of the Minnell Institute in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania? This is a place where they study. They got it's all funded by pharma, by drug companies and food companies, and they got all these PhDs, brilliant minds, figuring out the actual nature of the molecular nature behind the molecular aspect behind eating behaviors and how to exploit that molecular aspect by putting specific chemicals in food. A place called the Minnell Institute, and there's a book called Taste, just called Taste, where the gal talks about this place, and that's why I asked you about if you think this is done intentionally, in a conspiratorial sort of fashion. But you're saying it's more like an economic interest, more like capitalistic interests, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do not think there is the CEO of a food company is sitting there pursing his fingers together, wondering how he can cause more people to become diabetic. Diabetic is just a consequence of him making his food products as delicious as possible and as appetite stimulating as possible. So, you know, are cigarette manufacturers evil, or are they something else? Let's call it something else.
How about a cross between? That's where I want to leave.
There you go.
There's a book called Gulp. I don't know if you heard of this book called Gulp, and it's a gal talks about all the different aspects of food manufacturing and manipulating food for sale and for capitalistic and economic and mercenary interests. And she talks about dog food and how she says how they know a dog food is good if a dog will eat enough of it to throw up, and if the dog vomits, then they knew that the dog food was good. And sometimes I think that somehow relates to how we decide, how manufacturers decide whether a food for human consumption is a good food, whether people will eat so much of it that they feel like throwing up. And if they don't, then probably that's not a food that's going to be economically viable. But in any case, isn't that kind of interesting? The dog has to throw up for the dog food to be a good quality dog, for a good product. All right.
Well, and the one reason, just real quick, where I hedge my bets and don't call these people evil is if we believe these calorie myths that we've been fed, it's very easy for them to sleep at night thinking that if people just eat 1,600 calories, regardless of what it's from, that they'll be healthy and fit, because that is what we've been told. So until we can educate them, I believe they have a little bit of moral defense.
Well, there's actually something called a Twinkie guy. There was a food professor, I forgot where he was from, and he proved that you could lose weight by just eating Twinkies. based on this idea.
And there's an amputation diet as well, which proves that you can lose weight by cutting off your right leg.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend it either.
Or by cutting off your head. That's also a good way to lose weight, apparently. All right. So tell us about SANE, this whole aspect. I love your little acronym, SANE, and how it relates to the whole calorie myth, that calorie is a calorie is a calorie.
The second of the three calorie myths I explore in the book is that a myth that the calorie is a calorie, which is like saying that water is water. So see that mud puddle over there in the gutter on
right.
the street? Just go drink that. It's fine.
Right.
So if you actually look at the research, there's four factors that prove clinically that a calorie is not a calorie, and they're abbreviated using the acronym SANE. SANE stands for satiety, or how quickly calories fill you up, how long they keep you full, aggression, the hormonal and blood sugar impact of calories, nutrition, how many essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids come along with the calorie, and then efficiency, or how easily our body can store those calories as fat.
And those are all the factors that have to do with how quickly or how effectively a calorie will make you gain weight. Is that correct?
Or lose weight. Calories
right.
are just, nutrition is information. So there's literally studies showing that you can actually eat a diet consisting of more calories, but depending on their source, you will lose more weight than a diet with fewer calories.
All right. Talk to us about protein. There's all this mythology out there about protein as well. In fact, I would say there's just as much mythology about protein as there is about calories and misunderstandings as well. The way I look at it, though, protein intake is one of the best ways to lose weight and one of the most nutritionally dense forms of caloric intake, at least in terms of biological value. What's your take on protein?
You're exactly right. The three things that consistently differentiate sane calories in food, what we want to eat more of from insane edible products, are water, fiber, and protein. So protein, fiber, and water-rich foods are across the board better for us than dry, low-fiber, low-protein foods. And you're exactly right. There's a huge amount of mythology around protein. So just to get the facts straight, protein doesn't cause cancer. Protein is healthy long-term. Protein doesn't cause cardiovascular disease. Protein does help burn body fat, and we can provide studies supporting every single one of those statements.
Now, you got to distinguish proteins, though, correct? There's protein and there's protein. They're not all the same, just like not all calories are the same. Tell us how you would distinguish the various types of protein.
You're exactly right. There's high and low quality everything. So it's not that carbs, protein, or fat are good or bad. We have to say, what are the high quality sane sources? So when it comes to protein, we want to get protein that is complete and very biologically available for our body. And again, doesn't have a bunch of garbage coming along with it. And these are going to be things found from humanely raised animals. So you don't want to eat sick animals. That would make you sick. As well as from wild caught seafood that is low in things like mercury and items like that. A lot of what we hear about being a good source of protein, such as a bean or a nut, it is not at all a good source of protein. It doesn't mean it's bad for you. It's just mostly carbohydrate or fat.
We got to take a break, Jonathan, but I want to explore that idea of bean and nut protein because I got a lot of vegans out in the audience who really do focus on that type of protein. We're talking to Jonathan Baylor, author of The Calorie Myth. I'm pharmacist Ben. You're listening to The Bright Side. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that organic sulfur can cleanse and defend your body against the poisons we're exposed to each day? Organic sulfur crystals from sulfurdefense.com help by forcing oxygen and nutrition into your cells while eliminating heavy metals, contaminants, and damaging radiation. Defend yourself and family from toxic assault with one of the most critical and essential minerals available today. Order online at sulfurdefense.com. That's sulfurdefense.com or call 800-593-6273.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
One in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
All right, welcome back to The Bright Side. I am Pharmacist Ben. Thanks for being here. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 Pacific and 10 to 11 Central Time, 24-7 on our archive page at brightsideben.com. We're talking to Jonathan Baylor, author of The Calorie Myth, as well as The Smarter Science of Slim. Welcome back, Jonathan. Before we went to break, you were talking about beans and legumes. We've got a lot of vegetarians who listen to this program. What's your take on vegetarian protein and the bean and legume thing? And I know you said it had a lot of carbohydrates, but aren't there a lot of anti-nutrients in legumes and beans as well?
There are, and even popping up to a much more mainstream, self-evident level, if we're going to call something a good source of protein, let's agree on what good source of protein means. So I would say there's two things. One is it's a complete protein, meaning it gives us everything that is beneficial about protein. And the second thing is that it has more protein in it than anything else. For example, if a kidney bean has 35% protein in it and 51% carbohydrate, if it's a good source of protein, then is it a very, very, very good source of carbohydrate? Because it has more carbohydrate than it has protein. Whereas if you look at like a tuna fish, for example, it's 94% protein. That seems like a good source of protein to me.
Do you think it's a lot harder for a vegetarian or a vegan to lose weight than it would be or is it easier for them to gain weight than it is for a carnivore?
I think it depends on where they're getting their calories. A carnivore who's eating hot dogs and Spam is not going to have a very easy time losing weight versus a vegetarian who is getting most of their calories from healthy fats versus maybe a vegetarian. Now, if a vegetarian is eating predominantly starches and sweets, then of course that's going to be very difficult to be healthy or fit. So I rather not say, you know, vegetarian is good, the carnivore diet is good. I'd rather say that high quality, nutrient dense, sane plant and animal foods are the optimal choices.
All right, so as long as we're busting myths, calorie myths, and protein myths, let's move on to fats a little bit, because there's a lot of mythology around fats and misunderstandings around, as there is with everything in nutrition, it seems like, but especially when it comes to protein and calories and fats. Give us your take on fats, good fats, bad fats. Can you lose weight by using fats? And what about the whole idea that there's no insulin that's associated with fat absorption, and perhaps maybe even you can eat all the fats you want without gaining weight? And then I do want to talk about insulin a little bit.
It is absolutely a myth that you can eat all the fat you want and not gain weight. That's so two things that are really important. One, eating more natural fats instead of starches and sweets is the single most important shift we need to make as our culture. We should be using fat as our primary fuel source, natural fats, rather than processed starches and sweets. That said,
that's huge, yeah, though, Jonathan. That's a huge statement. We should be eating more natural fats, getting our energy from fats more than from other food groups. Is that correct, to lose weight?
It is, and it's not. You do not need to take my word for it. It is shocking, but go look, for example, the chair of the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health. He has published entire papers saying, like the title of the paper is dietary fat the cause of obesity? No. This is not controversial in actual academic circles. The highest of ranks, the Harvard Medical School, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, says as much. It just hasn't permeated the mainstream.
Wow. Now, certainly when we say fat, that's kind of a catch-all word. How do you distinguish fats? There's probably lots of ways to distinguish it, but how does Jonathan Baylor distinguish the various types of fats?
So you always want to start by saying, what are the fats found directly in nature? So I like to call the food group in question whole food fats. So an egg is a whole food that is predominantly fat. Nuts are a whole food that are predominantly fat. So I recommend eating whole food fats. So salmon, whole food that contains lots of fat. Grass-fed beef, whole food which contains some fat. You want to get your fats from whole food, natural fats.
Now, how about the idea of cooking and processing even in natural fat? What is, like, nut butters, for example? Any problems there?
You want to be careful because it's very easy to overeat fat if all you ate was fat. So you want to have a balance of fat, good fats, good carbohydrate, and good protein. Good carbohydrate are generally things like non-starchy vegetables, low fructose fruits. Good proteins, what we talked about, humanely raised animals. And good fats are these natural whole food fats. You need to eat all of those things to have a healthy, nutritious, life-sustaining diet. And I would recommend starting with non-starchy vegetables first, then moving on to your protein, and then following up with fats.
You're talking about in terms of a meal?
Exactly.
So you start off with non-starchy veggies, kind of get to the fiber to fill you up, I take it, and so you'll be eating less. Is that right?
There's three primary factors, or maybe three and a half, that influence satiety, and this has just been proven over and over and over in the research community, and that's the stretch that food places on your digestive system, and so you need fiber and water to do that.
Mechanically stretching the stomach, in other words.
Exactly. So you need to eat a certain volume of food, and that's why vegetables are so useful. And then protein and fat have hormonal impacts that trigger satiety centers in your brain. So eating a lot of vegetables, a good portion of protein, and then some whole food fats are going to make you feel full and satisfied without overeating. Whereas if your entire meal was butter, it would be very easy to overeat and undernourish yourself.
Do you make a distinction between essential and unsaturated fats versus saturated fats like butter and coconut oil?
I like to look at what comes along with the fat. So I focus less on ratios of fats and more on saying if you focus on foods that provide you with the most essential nutrients, you will get the correct ratio of fat. So, for example, focusing on macadamia nuts, salmon, cocoa, coconut, without having to do omega-3, omega-6 ratios and balances, focus on food first, the foods we've talked about here, and your fats will take care of themselves just like they did for every other person who ever lived prior to the current three generations.
How about salt? Does that fit into satiety at all?
Salt from a... In terms of you salting your own food, it would be very difficult for you to take in. If you do not eat processed and packaged foods, an amount of salt, that would be bad for you. Salt only becomes a problem when you eat non-food because the amount of salt that these edible products contain in them is ridiculous. You would never put that much salt on food you prepared yourself.
So you're saying, now you said non-edible foods. How did you say that? That's kind of an interesting distinction.
Edible products. So things you, for example.
Non-food edible products.
So they're, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Kind of cute. Non-food edible products. So like, that's a huge statement right there. We've got a culture that subsists on non-food edible products. Is that right?
Or you can even shorten it and say edible products. And in fact, 40 to 60% of the average American's calories are coming from edible products, which are things that just didn't exist in the world up until recently.
So basically, if you're living on something that's edible but it's not food, you got some problems. Is that the idea?
And it also takes us down a really interesting rabbit hole that questions the entire definition of food, because you know what? Diet soda has no calories in it, but we still call it food. So what differentiates that from cough syrup or from aspirin? Like, they're all just chemicals that change your body, right?
Would you say that there's a huge proportion of what we eat is not even, couldn't even be considered food then? Like probably 50, 60, 70%. That would include hamburgers and fast food and that kind of thing, McDonald's hamburgers. Just because it's edible doesn't mean it's food, in other words.
Exactly. Cocaine is edible. Cigarette. I mean, you can inhale tobacco smoke. You can put nicotine into your body. That doesn't mean you should. And that is the cause of the obesity epidemic. The cause of the obesity epidemic is not gluttony and sloth. It's eating non-food that breaks your body, just like putting non-gasoline in your car would break your car.
That is an awesome statement. Thanks, John. Hey, hang tight. We got to take a break here, and then we'll finish up. We got one more segment. We're talking to Jonathan Baylor. Fascinating guest. His book is The Calorie Myth. His website is the caloriemythbook.com. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to The Bright Side on the Genesis Communication Network.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs has learned the importance of good fats for good health. Good fats are essential fatty acids, and they're called essential because they're necessary for good health. That's why he uses Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity.
Among the fats, the most powerful are two fats that are referred to as essential fatty acids. Now, nothing in the world of nutrition is more important than essential fatty acids. The word essential means you better get it in your diet or you're in big trouble. Essential fatty acids are perhaps the most multifunctional and versatile of all the essential nutrients. Essential fatty acids are not just important for the heart, they're important for everything in the body.
To get the essential fatty acids that are so important to your body, order Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And GenStone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call GenStone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
All right, we're back on the bright side. Got one more segment to talk to Jonathan Baylor. We busted the calorie myth. We busted some mythology about protein. We busted some mythology about fats. Let's see what we missed here, Jonathan. Carbohydrates. There's a guy out, guy who wrote a book called The Starch Solution. And he says that starch is the way to go if you want to lose weight. He literally says this in the book, The Starch Solution. He's a doctor, and he shall go unnamed. What's your take on carbs, carb restriction, reducing carbs, or high-carb, low-carb diets as far as it has to do with losing weight?
Carbs, protein, and fat, as we mentioned, are neither good nor bad intrinsically. We have to look at what's coming along with them. So from a carbohydrate perspective, there's four essential things to human life: essential amino acids, essential fatty acids, essential vitamins, and essential minerals. Bottom line is that from a carbohydrate perspective, and this is math, this is not debatable, because you can take amount of protein, fat, vitamins, and minerals, and divide by the total number of calories, the carbohydrate that provide us with the most essential substances are non-starchy vegetables and low-sugar fruits. Starches and sweets are some of the least essential nutrient-dense foods on the planet. So anyone who says you should eat more of what is non-essential for health and less of what is essential for health, I'm not really sure how they got their medical license.
Well, I agree with that, and you can Google the guy's name. The book is called The Starch Solution, and we won't pick on him anymore. We picked on him a lot on this program. So much more I want to talk about. Talk to us a little bit about exercising. People say, oh, you got to exercise more if you want to lose weight, and you don't necessarily believe in that based on your book, the chapter, The Six Principles of Smarter Exercise. Tell us about smarter exercise as opposed to just plain old exercise.
The reason we're told to exercise more is because we've been led to believe that this is all about calories, and the more you exercise, the more calories you burn. That's true. But exercising obsessively is just like starving yourself. It's just another way of doing it. The key to long-term health and fitness is not starvation, either by eating less or by exercising more. It's by causing hormonal change, which enables your body to heal itself. And the way you do that via exercise is via two forms of exercise. One isn't even exercise. It's just being active. It's being a person. It's standing up. up, walking, taking the stairs. That's not exercise. That's being a human being. We didn't have elevators for a long time, so taking the stairs is just what you're supposed to do. And then there is very short duration, very high intensity, no impact, safe exercise, such as interval training and such as very heavy resistance training. These are the forms of exercise that cause hormonal change, which causes lasting metabolic benefit. And you can't do a lot of them because they're so intense.
So like a 5-10 minute workout kind of thing.
Exactly. And you're not stopping after 10 minutes because you're lazy. You're stopping after 10 minutes
you're
because
burnt.
Doing 11 minutes is impossible.
Yeah. So you want to max out on your exercise and do it intensely.
Exactly. But also with the high safety. This is easy for people to hear this and think, oh, I'm going to like take a 300-pound tire and throw it over my head. No. Like imagine getting on an upright stationary bike and instead of pedaling for 60 minutes, simply getting warmed up and then cranking the resistance up so high that you have to stand up on the bike like you're pedaling up a hill, doing that as hard as you can, not fast, but hard, because the resistance is so high, for 30 to 60 seconds, taking a 2-minute break and repeating, and in 10 minutes, you're done and you put no impact on your joint.
That's awesome. That's my kind of workout. 10 minutes a day, 4 days a week, right? So, does that sound good? Intense, though.
That 4 days a week, especially if you're going into weight training, is impossible. So we're talking even 10 to 20 minutes a day once or twice a week if you can bring the intensity high enough.
All right. You know, we don't have a lot of time, but we would be remiss if we didn't discuss hormones, especially insulin. Tell us about the role of insulin when it comes to weight loss and weight gain and what we could do to control or stabilize insulin.
Insulin is heard by your brain as saying you have energy available. It's a signal to your brain that it doesn't need to burn fat because there should be glucose or energy circulating in your bloodstream. So if you just take a person and you feed them no food and you inject them with insulin, their brain will be reticent to burn fat because it thinks food is available. Because insulin says that's what the brain sees insulin as. So when we eat things like starches and sweets that spike our insulin, even if we are in a state of calorie deficit or negative caloric balance, it's very difficult for our body to burn fat. Instead, it will slow down and burn muscle tissue because it perceives insulin as in the bloodstream as saying you have enough food available to you. Don't burn body fat.
And so stabilizing insulin, do you recommend nutritional supplements to work with insulin, or do you recommend just dietary strategies?
Focusing on eating the most nutrient-dense foods in the world, non-starchy vegetables, nutrient-dense protein, whole food fats, and low fructose fruits will automatically and effortlessly keep your insulin levels in a healthy, sustainable range.
What about the role of high fructose corn syrup when it comes to difficulties losing weight and when it comes to weight gain?
High fructose corn syrup has been shown, fructose in general, has been shown in clinical studies to alter the baseline levels of satiety hormones in your body, meaning that if you take a rodent and you just pump them full of fructose versus another form of sugar like glucose, that rat will need to eat more calories to feel the same level of satisfaction in the future. So forget about the fructose ingestion at that time, just like next week. They will need to eat more calories to feel fuller because the fructose has actually caused inflammation in the satiety centers of their brain.
So it raises the set point via inflammation in the brain?
That's exactly right. And there's a lot of foods that do this. For example, MSG does this, trans fats do this, and that's why eating the foods we've described here, these whole nutrient-dense foods, are so important because independent of the calorie, these edible products make you fat.
What's your take on supplementation? Do you supplement?
I supplement with supplements that I put in quotations because they're actually closer to whole foods. For example, is fish oil a supplement or is it a food? Is spirulina a supplement or is it a food? Is desiccated beef liver a supplement or is it
a food? I'm thinking more like vitamin C, the B complex, basically your essential nutrients more than foods, although fish oil kind of crosses both lines, I suppose. But I'm thinking more like the basic essential nutrients, essential vitamins, essential minerals, essential fatty acids,
I think taking a multivitamin, I think taking an insurance policy is a good idea. I think focusing on it as a supplement rather than a replacement is critical, but I do think it's an effective insurance policy.
Now, I notice I'm looking at your pictures and your YouTubes, and you're a pretty thin guy. You're a pretty lean guy. Were you ever overweight?
I wasn't. In fact, I started this journey because I was a naturally thin person, and I wanted to understand. I knew that I wasn't just morally superior. I wasn't trying harder than people other than me. And I said, what is it about my biology that makes me stay slim without really trying? No one's asked that question before. And that's what took me down this path of understanding the neurobiology, gastroenterology, and endocrinology, which underlies obesity. It's not a moral issue. It's a hormonal and neurological and gastrointestinal issue.
So your problem was actually you wanted to gain weight, is that right?
That's exactly right. And it was ironically as difficult for me to gain weight, and this applies to millions of other people around the world. You probably know one of them. You probably resent them. And the question is, like, how can that be? How can one species, Homo sapiens, have people who have a hard time gaining weight and have people that have a hard time losing weight? It has to be more than just calories at play, and that's what my book looks at.
How would somebody gain weight? We've been talking about losing weight. How would somebody gain weight? Just reverse, do everything that people need to do to lose weight in reverse?
That would cause them to gain fat, and it would cause them to become metabolically deranged and diabetic. So the way someone would want to gain weight to an ideal body composition would be through, I would say, an abundance of healthy whole food fats and nutrient-dense protein. So think smoothies, just rich in coconut and cocoa. But it's not easy. I can speak from experience. Trying to eat 6,000 calories per day from whole natural foods is not easy, but at the same time, you don't want to become diabetic. So you have to just listen to your body and focus on taking in more whole food fats and nutrient dense protein if your goal is to gain healthy weight.
Now, you said cocoa a couple of times. So what's the deal with cocoa? What's your take on that? It seems medicinal more than it is nutritional to me.
Cocoa, as you know, is just extremely high in super powerful antioxidants, which are hard to find anywhere else. Not to mention, it's also the single most craved substance in the world. So what a lot of people find is that their sweet cravings can be addressed by just eating something with cocoa in it.
You don't mean Hershey bars, though. You're not talking about Hershey bars.
No. I'm talking about cocoa, not chocolate. Chocolate is cocoa with a dramatic amount of other stuff put in it. But if you use cocoa as an ingredient in a healthy dessert sweetened with a natural non-caloric sweetener such as stevia, it can really do great things for your health as well as for your mental well-being.
We got to leave it there, Jonathan. Thanks so much. That was a fast-moving hour, buddy. Jonathan Baylor, his book is The Calorie Myth. His website is caloriemythbook.com. He's also got another great book called The Smarter Science of Slim. Thank you so much, Jonathan Baylor. That was a very enlightening hour. Hope we get to talk again soon.
Thank you so much, Ben.
Take care, bro. Have a beautiful day. All right. That was Jonathan Baylor. Thanks so much for listening, folks. Tomorrow we'll continue talking about connective tissue. We'll tell you about the Brazilian blowout, which is a hair treatment that features the amino acid cysteine, as we continue talking about protein and peptides and building strong, vital connective tissue. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a wonderful, beautiful day. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye for now.
The state of our drinking water today is worse than at any time in human history. Studies show that most drinking water contains heavy metals, aluminum, chromium-6, agricultural, and industrial toxins. If you get regular headaches, migraines, chronic pain, foggy thinking, fatigue, or nervous system malfunctions, you may have a buildup of these harmful toxins. This week at waterwebinar.com, in an all-new free webinar, Earth's most powerful cleansing secret is being revealed. Use it to neutralize inorganic particles like lead, aluminum, arsenic, and even mercury, and remove these accumulated poisons from your body. These toxins accumulate in your body over time and can cause many problems. You can get them out. Go to waterwebinar.com now and sign up for free to find out how to turn even the worst tap water imaginable into pristine water with powerful healing properties. It's your body, your water, your freedom. You have a right to drink pristine, clean water. Come and claim it. Go to waterwebinar.com now. That's waterwebinar.com. Go now and sign up for free.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us.
us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.